We shall again read God's word and the prophecies of Obadiah. Obadiah chapter 1. Reading there at the beginning of the chapter, Obadiah chapter 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Rise ye and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Thou exalt thyself as the eagle, thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not have leave some grapes? How are the things of Edom searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Amen. So Lord, would enable us, we might especially consider verse 7. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Now, as we have seen, Obadiah was given this message to the Jews regarding Edom, the descendants of Esau, who were inveterate enemies of Judah, who are an insignificant people group in themselves, living to the southeast of the Dead Sea. But they are singled out because they were such enemies of the Jews, and in many ways they are representative of the whole worldly or pagan attitude. So what is said of them reflects the way of thinking without God, and what is happening to them will ultimately happen to all the ungodly. And the message to the Jews is a challenge to them. Don't be like them. Because what they did brought judgment on them. Rather, trust in me. And so, on one level, they're being reminded that the Lord is God, who is in control. He is the king. But on the other hand, they're being told, be faithful to the God of the covenant. Trust God. And we've seen that the prophet, under the direction of the Spirit, in other words, God himself really is singling out ways in which the Edomites were failing to trust God. Verses 2 and 4, he singles out the problem of pride. We are strong. We live in these mountainous strongholds. No one can get us. They're rejecting God's way of salvation and God's providential allotment to them. They're going to do their own things, make their own way. We're invincible, and they're deceived because the Edomites were crushed by the forces around them. Last week we noticed that they were relying on their own wealth. And that comes out because the phrase hidden things in verse 6 could be translated hidden treasures. What were they doing? They were trusting in uncertain treasures rather than in the living God. a tendency we all have. That with their own resources, we can sit back. If we get ill, we can go to the doctors. If calamity strikes, well, insurance one way or other will pay out and help us. And we've got what we need, so we don't need to trust God. And it's a problem that we all face because a past generation perhaps didn't have these things. We're cast more in the Lord than we tend to be. A third way in which this failure to trust in God is singled out in verse 7. They relied on alliances with others. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. In other words, they are relying on alliances with others to secure their peace. They're not alone. They're confederate with other peoples. And that will bring peace. It was a common way of dealing with international relations in these days. Lots of little nations and a few big superpowers, and you enter into treaties and alliances either with little nations or with one of the superpowers in order to ensure your peace. It was something the Jews had a tendency to do as well. And we read in Isaiah chapter 8 of God warning the Jews against this. He's saying to them, trust in me. You might say that we have a practical example of a failure to do this in Obadiah, verse 1, verse 7. And here is what we read in Isaiah chapter 8. Associate yourselves, O people, O ye people, ye shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, it shall come to nothing. Speak the word, it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say not a confederacy. To all them to whom this people shall see a confederacy. We've got our alliances. We've got our United Nations. That will secure peace in the world. That's the way they're speaking. Neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. How can that be so? Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Set apart the Lord in your heart. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he'll be a sanctuary unto you. There's a lesson we have to learn tonight. The nations of the world need to learn. We might ask ourselves, how can you get peace in the world? Well, the key is to be found in these verses. And so our theme tonight is the only way to world peace. And we notice how the Edomites singularly failed to follow that way. Notice four things. First of all, trusting in alliances produces a faithless peace. It produces a faithless or an ungodly peace. You'll notice that they were looking to others and not God. They're doing what all the nations had a tendency to do. You send ambassadors, you devise a treaty, you sign it, you make pledges, which may or not involve the exchange of money, and that is a guarantee of peace. And you'll notice there is the stress of peace in verse 7, because it talks about these confederations and then the men that were at peace have deceived thee. There was a peace. We which didn't last. This peace with thee, it was a faithless peace. Now, we don't know the precise circumstances because we're not 100% sure when Obadiah was given this prophecy. But for example, in Jeremiah 27 at verse 3, there is reference made to various nations gathered together. You have the Edomites who are looking to join forces with the Moabites and the Ammonites and with Tyre and Sidon, small people against the superpower of the day, the Babylonians. It may be they've got an alliance with them. It may relate to the fact that often the nations entered into alliances with the big superpower to help them. That was what they did. If you think of the Jews in Ahaz's day, that we referred to already, northern kingdom of Israel and Syria were saying to King Ahaz and to Judah, come and let's join an alliance and we can rebel against the Assyrians. And Ahaz, and they're saying, if you don't do that, we're going to attack you. And Ahaz, he turns round and rather than trusting in the Lord as Isaiah tells him to, and there's promises of deliverance and hope, he goes and buys protection from the Assyrians themselves. And the Assyrians end up causing problems for Judah, as well as overthrowing Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. You read of that in Isaiah 7 and 8. If you think of later on, there were many in Judah who were looking to the Egyptians to protect them from the Babylonians. They're entering into alliances. They're looking to others. They're not trusting in God. It is better to trust in God than trust in man's defense. It is better to trust in God than make princes your confidence. Psalm 118 at verse 8. Who is the keeper of Israel? The Lord, the keeper of Israel. What's the problem with the Edomites and all those others who are entering into alliances? They're wanting peace, but it is peace without reference to God. And they are being idolatrous. Because rather than giving God his place as a protector of men, the one who alone can keep us safe, they're looking to their own resources and they're looking to others. Other things are taking the place of God. It is idolatry. And here is one of the reasons the Edomites are going to be judged. Because what are they doing? They're doing what Ahaz had done before. They are despising God, despising his protection, rejecting his way of deliverance. I will do my own things. Trusting in alliances produces a faithless peace because there is a failure, there is a tendency to look to others rather than God. And the truth is, the nations, as nations, and you and I as individuals, are to seek peace and security from God alone. When you want to feel secure, who do you look to? Do you rest upon God? Now, obviously, the scriptures stress that we are to use the means that God provides for our own security, that we are to be the farmer, for example, he is to sow, he is to be diligent in sowing his crops, but he's to be aware that God gives the increase. And He is to rely not on his own work, because he might work very hard and the crop might fail. Despite that, it's God who gives the increase. And in the same way, we are to use the means God gives for our security, but we are not to rest in these things. We are not to rest in them. David can say in Psalm 20, in chariots some put confidence, some horses trust upon, but we remember will the name of our Lord God alone. We've got our battle tanks, we've got our armour, but it's God and his blessing that counts. He is the keeper of Israel. So you make your home secure. You lay yourself down at night to sleep. But let us remember, he is the keeper of Israel, who slumbers not nor sleeps. So yes, David had his armies. Solomon built his chariot cities. He is not condemned for doing these things. David has to go out and fight. But just as he defeated Goliath in the name of the Lord God alone, relying not on his skills, but on God, so you and I are to do the same thing. You see, it was a failure to give God his place that was their sin. And so often we can fall into that sin ourselves. Let us remember that it is as we sanctify, set apart, treat as holy the Lord God, he will be a sanctuary unto us. So the Edomites for a while were enjoying peace. You and I just now enjoy a large measure of peace. But it could be an unbelieving peace. And where there is an unbelieving peace, it will lead to judgment. That's what happened to Edom. And that's what will happen to us as a nation. Trusting in our security services, in our armies, in alliances. If it's an unbelieving peace, it will lead ultimately to judgment, one way or other. We are to trust in the Lord. And as individuals, we're to remember God is our keeper. It was a faithless peace. But you notice, secondly, it was a fickle peace. A fickle peace. Trusting in alliances produces a fickle peace. And there's two reasons for that. It's uncertain, it's fickle. Why? Well, first of all, there's the weakness of men. All the men of thy confederacy. They're trusting in men. The men that were at peace with thee. Well, we remember that man is but man. That men often have a limited capacity to act. Often it's the case that the strong are overcome by the weak. It's not always those who've got large armies who prevail. It's not always those who you would expect to win, who you would say, humanly speaking, should have won, who prevail. You look at the Second World War. In many ways, Hitler could have just marched into Britain and taken over. In God's providence, he was restrained from doing so. And ultimately, he knew defeat. But there's the weakness of men. And you find that, well, with these sort of people, they're relying on others, but their resources are limited. And they often needed to protect themselves. Sometimes you would find that people would be offering protection and then they had to withdraw because there was an attacker came at another border. In the same way that in the days of Rabshakeh, when he's threatening the Jews in Isaiah 36 through to 40, 39 rather, it ends up there's problems. He's got to withdraw the troops, and then God's judgment comes upon them for their sin. How often God frustrates the plots and plans of the wicked. Whether you look at it on an individual scale or in a national, international scale, there's a weakness of men often leads to failures. You might think that a US president is safe with all the security around him, yet a man can come within a few millimetres of shooting him, despite all the resources that are there. The weakness of men. We've seen that in recent days. How different is the Lord? Oh, to remember him and see that our confidence is in him. He is our shield, an exceeding great reward. I am Almighty God, your protector. Walk before me and be thou perfect. True security is to be found in the Lord because he is the Almighty, the opposite of weak men, the one whose plans are never frustrated. And if nations were wise, they would seek God as their helper and as their protector. So on one level, the weakness of men means that any peace, the peace there is now, is so fickle. Who knows what could happen? Who dreamt a couple of years ago there would be war in Ukraine? Who really thought that was going to happen? And who knows what can happen yet. And very easy to be thinking, we've got all these resources, but well, often there's weakness. True peace is to be found in God. But there's a second reason why. There's a treachery of men. Those, we read that in verse 7, the men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee. They were at peace with thee. They've deceived thee. Now we don't know the circumstances, but all you have is treachery. We've entered into an alliance, but we're not going to keep that alliance up if it doesn't suit us. And they have been overthrown. Because those who were at peace with them had deceived them and prevailed against them. Well, often they would say we'd end up entering into an alliance with the superpower of the day. It's a protection racket. Give them some money, they won't bother you. But they'll come back again and back again. Sometimes they'll just destroy you. That was the way they were. Treachery. And that's brought out, it would appear at verse 7 at the beginning as well, all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. Now it's unsure exactly what that may refer to. It may be that those who you had sought help from, perhaps ambassadors being sent, well, they come back, escorted you to the border, assuring you, don't worry, all will be well. But of course, they had no intention of keeping their word. That may be what it's referring to. Or it may be that It is a case that in the day of trouble, those whom they had alliances with, they were fleeing to them, but they were refusing refuge to them. And so they were falling into the hands of the enemy rather than finding security, because the alliances just broke up. We're not going to help you after all. And we'll just turn you over to the enemy. Rabshakeh, and back to him in Isaiah 36, as he is mocking the Jews, one of the things he says is this: "Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is King Pharaoh, so is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him." A broken reed, leaning on it, it's liable to cause a scalp or go through you. It's a broken reed, it's weak, and it's going to cause you more trouble. It will injure you. The treachery of men. And the reality is that although people will often speak of honour and trustworthiness, we like to think of our own nation as a trustworthy nation. We're like some people. We are those who, well, our bond is our word, and if we are saying we're going to help, we're going to do what we will do. What we will have said we will do, and we will help. Although in these days, it might be seen that honour demanded faithfulness and loyalty, the reality is, where there is godlessness, honour and trustworthiness is limited. It's only as long as it's useful. We'll keep our promises as long as it's useful. Why is it that when you get people binding together economically and politically even to try and help and support one another, to try and get on, you find that there's so much squabbling and people complaining and people trying to jostle and push forth their own position. Self comes to the fore. Treachery. That's what you get. It's a fickle peace. How different from when we trust in the Lord, the God of the covenant, the one who is faithful to himself, faithful to his covenant, the one who is faithful to his people. His faithfulness will be a shield and a buckler unto you. The one who calls himself the faithful one. Here's a reminder, we can trust in God to be a sanctuary. Trusting in others, at best it's fickle peace it produces. Then a third thing. Trusting in alliances produces a false peace. A false peace. The men which were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. In other words, here was something that was superficial. There was an element of peace. If you'd looked, it would have seemed that all was well. But was that true if you began to dig down a little? Edom were only enjoying peace for a little time. The Babylonians were going to attack them and overthrow them. And their friends would fail them. They would deceive them and prevail against them. You notice it speaks of those who had, "They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee." They've shown hospitality to people. What a sign of peace. Being able to eat together. Friendship. You don't invite your enemy in for a meal and enjoy a pleasant evening with them and shake hands and embrace one another And see, all's well when you know that they are plotting and planning things against you. They'd eaten bread. It seemed as if there was peace. But there was, although there were those signs of peace, they didn't last. Think of the Glencoe massacre. The McDonald's show hospitality to a group of soldiers, many of them Campbell, so there were other people as well. It's as if it's all friendship. And then they rise up in the night and a number of them are put to death. And it was something that scandalised the Scots and actually turned many of them against King William because of the treachery that was involved. A peace. It was a false peace. You see, man's out for himself. Nations are out for themselves. You end up with nations joining together. You think of the EU. You've got all those different nations all working together. They're all jostling for their own position. And everyone knows that, though we pretend it's all being nice and we're all working together and it's all creating peace in our time and, well, there's a bit of a facade. It's superficial. That's true on an individual level as well. There's a problem of sin, the problem of the carnal heart. You end up with a superficial peace. What's the lesson? Isn't it this, that true peace is centred in the Lord? How will the nations learn to live at peace? How can families and individuals learn to live in peace? Well, it's to be centred in the Lord. There's only true peace when there is a true relationship with Christ and he is at the centre of the bond between people, and we might say between groups of people. You get that in Isaiah 2. There's a picture there of the nations flowing to Jerusalem. They're flowing into the church. They're saying, we want to learn the truth. He shall teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. And what's the response? As they learn the truth, as they are changed by the gospel, they beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. They no longer are learning the way of war. They're learning the way of peace. How can that be? Because they're discovering what the problem is with themselves, that they are sinners in need of a Saviour. And they have come to realise that Jesus is the only Saviour. They come to trust in him. They find that there is reconciliation with God. A greater dispute that there can ever be between man and man. And that God, the one who is justly offended by your sin, offers you a peace treaty and says, look, stop your rebellion. Confess your sins. And I won't exact any reparations. I'll forgive you through Jesus Christ. And come now and walk in my ways and be my people, and I will be your God. And we shall live in harmony together. Have you discovered that way of peace? Have you realized your need of peace with God through Jesus Christ? That he's a controversy against you? And have you come to embrace that way of peace? As God in Christ says to you, be reconciled to me through my Son, Jesus Christ. Have you been reconciled and so delivered from the hell that you're heading for? You see, the believer learns these things. And having learned these things, that the problem is sin. He hates sin. Sin no longer reigns in his heart. Self no longer is at the center. It's God and pleasing God. And he becomes a true peacemaker because he embraces believers. He counts them as brethren. And the reality is, you have people from all sorts of backgrounds, people who were against one another, and when they are brought to Christ, to become friends, and they embraced one another. The enmity's gone. The antagonism's gone. Doesn't matter if you're a Campbell or a MacDonald, a Jew or an Arab. Christ, he unites us. He is the bond of peace that unites people. And we learn to forgive one another and forbear one another because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not me, me, me. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers, living peaceably, yes, because they're at peace with God and have learnt God's way of peace, and they want to be like God. So God and not self is at the centre. The way of holiness is the way they live. What do we need for our families that they might be truly peaceful families? The gospel. What do we need in towns and in nations that peace might prevail? The gospel. What do we need for international relations? The gospel prevailing. It's the way of true peace. It's the only way of true peace. All those other ways produce a false peace. Have you come to know that true way of peace? Are you relying on it? Have you peace with God, with Jesus Christ? So trusting in alliances. It is a faithless peace, a fickle peace, a false peace, and then finally, a fool's peace. Notice the final words of verse 7. There is none understanding in him. He's unwise. He hasn't a clue. That's what's being said. All those alliances and trusting in them, it actually displays a lack of discernment. Isn't that true? A lack of discernment. They have no understanding. They lack wisdom. They lack understanding. Surely they should know better. Why do we think that just having a change of government will bring blessing? Or that the nations lining up and signing things will produce peace? Man's a sinner. Man's untrustworthy. Here are people who are arrogant and foolish. Blind. Think, oh, man's good, and if we only did this, that, and the next thing, it would solve all our problems. There is none understanding. Doesn't history show that alliances fail and produce calamity? Sometimes they lead to wars that should never have been fought. And they don't prevent wars. You read the Old Testament, that's the case. You think of the League of Nations, there'll never be a world war again. Well, there was. You think of the UN, they are something that will stop problems. There's still wars, and they go on and they go on. And it's only a fool who would look to these things to produce peace. Not true peace, not lasting peace, not proper peace, and often not peace at all. And this very lack of discernment was actually a judgment on Edom for their sins. You know, what happens when people sin? God gives them over to more sin if they're refusing the truth. And that's what you've got here. And rejection of God, therefore, has fearful consequences because it leads from one sin to another and more problems. There's a lack of discernment. It's fools who trust in alliances. Indeed, it leads to God's judgment. Here is Edom. They have been treacherous towards the Jews on many occasions. And as they have been treacherous with others, so they will be dealt with in a treacherous way also. You get that in Isaiah and chapter 33. It's said of a different country, but it doesn't matter. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled, and when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. Isaiah 33, verse 1. God rewards the wicked with that which they give to others. It is a just thing for God to do this. He repays in like kind those who are wicked. It is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He gives trouble to those that trouble you. That was said of the early Christians. In 2 Thessalonians 1:6, but it's true generally. Edom was going to no judgment. They're trusting in others. Was a judgment for their own sin. And it was going to lead to further judgments. Their false hopes of peace was going to bring ruin to them. Their failure to trust and honour God as the source of their security and Christ as their Saviour was going to bring God's judgment on them. And that's still the same today. For individuals who fail to trust and honour God as a source of security, who fail to look to Christ as the only saviour of sinners, it will lead to hell. Be sure of that. And for nations who fail to trust and honour God as a source of security, it will only bring further judgments on them. The way for our own nation to enjoy peace and security is to return to the Lord. That's the only path to true blessing and to true peace. Not alliances. Not relying on certain superpowers of the day or building up our armed forces. It's God who we need. Friends, let us remember the true way of peace is centered in Christ. It begins with a personal reconciliation with God through Christ. Make sure you have that yourself. And pray that as a nation and the nations of the earth, they would realize this as well and come to embrace the Saviour for themselves. Let us pray. Lord, bless thy truth to us and help us to understand that, that indeed we might look to Christ alone as our keeper and as our hope. May we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. May he be our fear and our dread. For then he shall be a sanctuary to us. So, Lord, keep us in our going out and our coming in. Keep us day by day. Keep us till we meet again. Lord, we look for thy blessings.